one of the ways you're creating that assumption of how much the service is worth, you're so right, is by what they encounter from the moment they hit the homepage or the blog post or whatever to the email that they get when they, you know, we always like set up an email that spits out when they submit a contact form inquiry or like any of that stuff, onboarding, the thank you series at the end when you're requesting a review, like all of that stuff has to feel so sexy and so, mm-hmm. you know, well done and so well branded, like you said, to justify the price point. It's just all part of, I mean, it's a high-end service. It has to feel high-end.
I'm web strategist Wes McDowell, and this is The Profitable Website, the podcast where I share all my secrets to use your website and what's working now in digital marketing to reach more people and make a deeper impact with your prospects so you can supercharge your growth, eliminate the stress of inconsistent income, and build a business you love to show up for every single day. In return, I promise to show up to support you on every step of your journey. Let's put your website to work. All right, welcome back to the show. Super appreciate you for continuing to tune in every week and hear all about the stuff that is so important to the growth of your small business. So this week is a really interesting episode, I think, because I think a lot of you probably cater to, or I don't know about a lot of you, but some of you definitely cater to a higher end clientele with either luxury services or luxury products, that kind of thing. So I decided to bring on one of my good friends, Nicole Hamer. She's the owner and creative director of Curio Electro, which is a boutique creative agency specializing in the branding and websites and marketing for interior designer clients. So by definition, interior designers really cater to a higher end client, right? Because this is not something that everyone needs. This is a want-based service. So I think there's a different way you need to approach marketing to those types of clients. And I would say if you don't specialize in high-end clients, this episode is still gonna be valuable for you because there's still definitely things we touched on in this interview that are gonna help anybody marketing any business. But we're especially touching on those things that are specifically important when you're selling something that's, you know, in quotes, luxury. So I had a great time talking to Nicole. So let's go ahead and play that interview. All right, Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
This is fun. For those of you listening, Nicole and I have these kind of periodic check-ins. We met at a conference a few years ago and, you know, we became good friends at that conference and we like to check in on each other's progress every now and then. In our last one, I just got to thinking, hey, she should come on the show because she's got so much good stuff to say and her niche is completely, it's pretty unique. So you want to tell people listening what you do, what your niche is?
Sure, Wes, I sure do. Right. So we work almost exclusively with interior design firms and related businesses. So it could be a custom home builder, it could be even like a carpet company or some kind of vendor like that, but that is who we work with. And therefore, we also tend to work with businesses that are targeting a high-end slash luxury slash, you know, like, you know, just a that type of clientele that is going to be buying higher ticket services or products.
Sure. And why don't you just clarify, I got to it earlier, but you do web design for these interior designers, correct?
Yes, we do. We focus a lot on branding. So we start with a process that you would be familiar with, Wes, where we do, it's, you know, a consulting service that happens first where we figure out the plan and we figure out the messaging for them. Like, what is it that we want to say? What is different about them from every other interior design firm that their prospective client is looking at? And then we design and build websites. And then we do some ongoing services around like content creation and email. And we do a lot with automation.
Okay, cool. So before we got going here, we had an interesting conversation where you kind of let me know something. And I do want to, I think it's really interesting. And we should let the listeners know in on this. What is your definition of high-end versus luxury? Let's get that out of the way.
Sure. So I guess what the main thing to keep in mind when you are thinking about the wording on a website for a higher end product or service is that there are levels within that and the language is going to change. So what we were talking about was something that comes from Chris Ramey. He's an expert in the luxury space, a known expert. And he always talks about how truly high-end customers, people who are in, let's say, one percenters, you know, people who have a really high budget, yeah. Do not use the word luxury. It's inappropriate, because for those people, it's not luxury. It's not, the word luxury is aspirational. And what I always think of is, you know, walking through Walmart and noticing sheets that were like luxury sheets, like 7 right. thread count, you know, like just like not actually luxury, yeah. but for the aspirational person who's like, I would like a little bit of luxury. It's targeted towards them. So yeah. it's not that you shouldn't use the word luxury. It's better for if you're talking about more of a middle class, even upper middle class clientele who is, there's an aspirational aspect, you know, they're right. looking to level up what they're doing.
Yeah. I never thought of the word luxury. I always thought of like classy. Like classy people don't say classy probably. I don't know why I gave it a little extra Chicago on it, but.
I mean, we know that from reality television, that classy yep. people do not say classy.
Right.
No. No. And people who are smart do not say things like, I'm really smart. Nope.
That's true. You let other people yep. figure it out for you. So, all right. Exactly. So now that we've got that out of the way, for, basically we would define your niche, the people you do work for, as they are serving a higher end market, because mm-hmm. by definition, it's interior design. These are not truly, I mean, I guess it's middle class, upper middle class. These are people who can afford, it's a luxury service, right?
It's
extravagant.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have a range of clients. We've got clients who do, let's say, consultation only services where that's very obtainable for a middle class family, just to hire someone to help them to, you know, make selections or just give them some feedback in a 2-hour consultation. But then we have clients who, you know, their project minimum to take on a project is $150,000 or $300,000, just because, you know, or they have their clients have $2 million furniture budgets and, yeah. you know, like just stuff where it's like, yeah, no, this is, I think you're right. By definition, interior design is a luxury service. So, yeah. you know, no matter where you land.
A little bit of disposable income.
Yeah.
So I guess that's more or less how we'll define what we're talking about today. And of course, within that, there's the Richie Riches at the top, and then who hate the word luxury, they don't want to hear it, but everyone else right. you know, maybe we can say it. All right, cool. Yeah. So let's just talk about, because we're talking all about kind of websites and marketing for the higher end clientele today. So what kind of extras or what kind of areas or pages or content do you think the websites need when they're in that luxury or high-end niche, right? Mm. How are those websites different from other service businesses?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just on a call just like an hour ago with a legacy client, someone who has a completely different business, and she does something with export consulting. She's like really interesting, but her website has a ton of verbiage on it, and it requires that, and it makes sense. With an interior design site, you typically are not going to have a ton of text. It's very image-based. And so, you know, if you go to any, you know, I don't know, Hermes or like, you know, like another, like look at a completely not interior design, but another high-end brand, and you're going to see right. that tends to be the case. You know, people, interior design clients are just like everyone else on the internet. They're not going to read a lot, you know. That being said, you can't have no words. Like this right. tends to be the biggest mistake that I see with like designers who build their own sites, or some of the other sites that, you know, we look at that we do for people, that they don't know what to say. So they say nothing. They just put like a big, pretty image. But you need messaging. You need to tell people the difference between your interior design services and someone else's, you know, and for yeah. SEO purposes, the biggest mistake, this is not interior design specific, so I'm kind of like not answering your question, but the biggest thing that the biggest mistake that I see, the most common, is people do not have, like, I will go to an interior designer's website and have no idea where they work, like what area they serve, because it's okay. nowhere. It's nowhere. And so it's almost like the answer to the question is not like, how are these sites different, but more like, how are they the same? And how are people not using the basics They're getting caught up in the, like, this is a luxury service and it should just be so, so streamlined and so clean. And they're missing out on the marketing and website basics that make a website function.
Okay. So they're relying a little too heavily on the images, you'd say, that kind of thing, which I, in your niche specifically, I think that could be a huge problem. Any kind of visually based service, whenever I do kind of website audits for those companies, it's a lot of missed opportunities for letting people know why you.
Right.
And I think when you're dealing with a higher end client too, I think that you're dealing with someone who might be a little more discerning, who needs to be told, you know, there's different benefits associated, I think. Like this is not to do with a website. This is to do with a Instagram ad I saw just yesterday. It's called, like, a company called Mint, where they bill themselves as hotel style cleaning service. So it's basically like handy, like it's maid service, but they bill it as hotel style, like, and they just make it feel much more high end. Like, and they kind of go into like what the things that when you're dealing with a different kind of cleaning company, how we're better than that.
Yeah, I love hotel style. It puts a thought right into your head. It inserts some kind of assumptions right into your head.
Yeah, and it was really effective on me, and I'm probably going to use them. At least try them out and see if they're any better than handy. They may not be, but, you know. But it worked on me, is what I'm saying.
Hotel style.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's great. Totally. So, I mean, as far as images go, we do have to just mention that real quick, if you don't. Yeah. I mean, images, like, I'm sort of like going on the assumption that you have amazing images if you have like a high-end sort of product or service like that. But, you know, it needs to be said, you have to have amazing images. There's no shortcut around that. Like, I always say, like, if you have a limited budget that, and you can only hire a professional interior photographer in this case, or have someone professionally build your website, do the photographer. Don't have us build your website. Do the photographer and do your own Squarespace site, just until you can hire someone to like, you know, set you up with all the bells and whistles and tricks, because, you know, without the photos, there's no proof.
Yeah, and you, exactly. And you can definitely, you can make a great looking website out of nothing, not much more than just great looking photos.
Yeah.
You still need the verbiage. I'm not going to ever discount that. Like,
And no one might find, people might not find it ever. And you might not ever build your email list. And there's a million things that we can go into. But without that, you've really got nothing, at least in this type of industry.
Totally. And one thing I always say, when I used to work with clients more one-on-one, what I would tell them is I would always ask them, where do you fall in the price range? And the ones that fell higher in the price range, I was very clear to tell them, when you have a higher end kind of service, your website has to reflect that in the look, in the style. I always tell people, and there's a lot of advice out there saying your website can be pretty utilitarian as long as the wording is good. And I believe in that to some degree, but when we're talking about the more luxury, the more high-end customer, you have to validate your price point from the minute they set eyes on your brand, and your website is like one of the first things they'll ever see.
Yeah, no, I mean, people, like, they'll pay exactly what they think a service is worth and no more and no less, right? And one of the ways you're creating that assumption of how much the service is worth, you're so right, is by what they encounter from the moment they hit the homepage or the blog post or whatever, to the email that they get when they, you know, we always like set up an email that spits out when they submit a contact form inquiry, or like any of that stuff, onboarding, the thank you series at the end when you're requesting a review, like all of that stuff has to feel so sexy and so, you know, well done and so well branded, like you said, to justify the price point. It's just all part of, I mean, it's a high-end service. It has to feel high-end. It's not the same as, you know, like any old thing. That being said, just if you end up building your own site for a high-end service, just keep it like really clean and really simple, under design.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And if you've got the great images, it becomes pretty easy to do that. You just let the images be the style, and then let your words kind of tell the story. Just choose a clean font. Don't overdo it with the colors, and you should be good to go. Yeah. So anything else you can think of, that, you know, that might need to be a little above and beyond on a website like this?
So I think with the emails, you know, with a lead magnet, when you're trying to get people to sign up for an email list for when they're like a higher end client, you know, it's not B2B. So you're not going to be able to like offer them some like, you know, they're less likely to be like, I want your PDF about blah, blah, blah. It can be done. Yeah. It can be done. But you really need to think about like, what is something that someone who is thinking about hiring an interior designer, like what would they want? And our experience is that it's interactive content, it's quizzes, it's style quizzes. And I know that might sound like what people who have, you know, like an $800,000 furniture budget are taking a quiz and like, yeah, no, actually they are like, they are, because a quiz is about the client. It is not about you as a business. It is, it makes it feel, it can feel very custom. What we do when we build a quiz for our clients, you know, we try and use, if at all possible, all portfolio images from the designer, of course, the design firm. And then the content that we send them. So when we send them their result, we make the email with the result like as delicious and like pretty and well branded and full of like more inspiration images and possibly tips and, you know, just, I mean, to put it like bluntly, you just don't want to disappoint them at that point. Like they're the warmest they're going to be. But yeah, this is what I think is like so interesting, is that even at that super high level, everybody likes a quiz no matter who they are, apparently.
Cause it's all about them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We love answering questions about ourselves and getting to a result that we feel is custom for us.
Yeah.
So I know you're in one specific niche with design, but, or interior designers rather, can you give us some kind of an example of a recent quiz you've done? Like what was the basic gist of what you would find out with the quiz?
Yeah. So we like the go-to starting point is, for us, if we're going to do a quiz, is to literally just do a, like the foundation is like, what's your design style? And then we'll take their messaging and we'll take their positioning and we'll tweak it to that. So like one that we did recently or that we're working on right now is like, what's your family's design style? Because this interior design firm, high-end design firm, they do like new builds and full home renovations, so big projects, but they really specialize in, you know, working with younger, you know, some people are like better at the like in the 50s and 60s, and some specialize in this case, like growing families who like have the budget to do this. They're building their forever home. So it's going to be like very family focused. Another one that we did recently was what unique element is missing from your home? And this is not visuals, the question. It's more like to get them. We like kind of figure out the results and then work backwards. So this particular designer, part of her messaging is that she is like amazing with sorcering. We call her the sorceress, is like we joked about calling her the sorceress. But like she's amazing with sourcing. So she's like encyclopedic, like amazing with like finding like the most unique stuff, right? So we just came up with categories, you know, for what the results would be, whether it's like patterns and prints or like wall art or whatever, you know, like what are you missing? So we asked questions that like get that answer out of them. And then we send a bunch of like inspiring, like your, you know, it sounds like your home is missing patterns and prints, like everything's solid. And here's a bunch of like patterns don't have to be crazy. And there, here are some categories and like all this like beautiful imagery in the email so that they can get excited about it. And then always the call to action at the end, like if you see anything you like here, or, you know, you're interested in talking about your project, then, you know, click here, contact us, blah, 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 whatever.
Super smart. And I guess we should say though, real quick, that you mentioned before, like this wouldn't be for B2C, but wouldn't you say there are a lot of high-end services that could go B2C as well, right?
Oh, well, this is B2C.
B2B is what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. I would imagine.
So you don't want to discount that. Yeah.
No. Yeah, no, that's so true. I mean, I know like we could talk about the B2B versus B2C thing. Business to business to consumer for anyone who's right. Like, what? But like, Yeah, I don't know. Like some people say, like, there's no difference. Like one is not easier than the other, but I tend to think that B2B is easier because people can get ROI financially from it. But yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easier to justify. And there's obviously different kinds of lead. And I was going to ask about lead magnets later, but let's just talk about it since we are talking about it. So, you know, because these high-end businesses, they have a longer lead time. People probably agonize over the decision a little longer because it's not something they need. It's just something they want. So in order to, you know, I always tell people, people are probably sick of hearing it from me, but 80 to 90% of the people coming to your website today are not ready to take action. They're researching. Yes. So important that you have some kind of mechanism on your website, you know, the lead magnet to get them on your email list. And then you can continue that conversation over a period of a few weeks or a few months.
I want to high five you right now, but we're not together.
Well, we would have to elbow bump anyway. It's COVID.
Oh my God, you're right. We wouldn't even. So totally. I always say 98% just to like really like set expectations. Nail it down. I always talk about that as well. Like, I mean, this, the buyer's journey, right? Like we don't know where they are in the buyer's journey, whether they're like doing like that, like they have just heard, just like it just occurred to them that they could hire an interior design firm or they're like legitimately.
They just watched Mrs. Doubtfire and they saw that she's an interior designer and like, oh, that's something I could do.
Oh my God. I've been thinking about watching that for a while now because I haven't in a long time. And I'm like, that's got to hold up that movie.
Oh, it's like, on the streaming services right now. It's on one of them. I was very tempted to watch it.
Yeah. I'm like, I need to watch it. So yes, it's, or what is it? What is that one with like Julia Sugarbaker? That's another good
one. Designing Women. I mean,
Designing
I don't know.
Women. Designing what? I never heard of it.
Yeah. I don't know that one. Yeah.
So where was I? I just lost track of where. Oh, so like I always say, like you need to, as to jump off of what you were saying, like you need to nurture them because it could be, they could be hiring you in 2 weeks. It could be in 6 months. It could be in a year, but it could be 2 years, like face facts, it's fine. It doesn't matter because the longer you nurture them, if you're sending out content, they don't have to be opening every email that you send. But if they're that familiar with you and you've built that much trust, they're not going to call anyone else when the time comes. Like, you will be the one that they will call. That's it. You've become their friend, you know, especially if you use video, as we all
know. I was going to get to that. Yeah, I was going to say, because you mentioned how, especially if you're B2C, you're not that likely to get the PDF guide. It's dry. Mm-hmm. The quiz is great because it's interactive. The other thing, my favorite thing is video because nothing builds that kind of rapport like video does. Possibly an audio training, but that's a little more rare. It's a little harder to like, because it's harder to get that in a format for someone to actually consume.
I'm
if it's not on a podcast feed.
I talk about that on webinars. I'm like, because like, I know people love to consume. I love to consume via audio. Like that's like my favorite way. And I'm like, I know it's a visual medium, but like, can someone figure it out? Because if someone could crack that, you know, it's tough. It's tough with the like interior designers so visual to like figure it out. But I agree. Like there's gotta be a way. There's gotta be a way. But yeah,
sure.
Video. I always hear those anecdotes from designers of like, you know, people pre-COVID disclaimer, before, like they would like open up the door for a consultation and the client would hug them and be like, I feel like I've known you forever because of video content. Like you can't underestimate the value. And there's just so much data to back it up. Like if you have a screenshot of a video that's clickable in your email, your click-through rate is going to be like, I forget what the number is, but like at least double multiple times. It's like, it really makes a difference. So you know.
And that's just, you're talking about kind of the follow-up content you send out after you get the email address, but the lead magnet itself can be, I think one of the, there are several really powerful formats. One is a webinar, but you know, don't call it a webinar because that sounds dry. No one, call it a masterclass, call it a training, whatever you want.
Right.
And then you're basically teaching a bit and then selling something kind of toward the end. Or we could do, there's a guy named Jeff Walker. Are you familiar with
the three video series thing?
Yeah. Or, I think four for him, but it could be three too. I mean, it's basically, you know, day one, day two, day three, day four videos, short, 5 to 10 minutes. And that repeated exposure is a great way to get people to just quickly get to know you. So I highly recommend that. If you've got the stomach for video, not everybody does.
Everybody wants to do it. I'm like, if you got it in you.
Not everyone loves the idea for sure, but.
No, they don't. But and not everyone, like, I don't know, it's not right for everyone, but man, is it powerful.
Yeah, I agree.
That's you're so right. That's a good idea to do like a Jeff Walker style video series.
It's called Product Launch Formula. If anyone wants to look that up, look into
that. There's a course, and then I read the book years ago. There's a book to like,
I think I listened to the book. I'm an intellectual lightweight. I just listen to books now.
You now too. I'm trying to read a book now, and I'm like, oh, my eyeballs still work. This is reassuring that I can do this. That's a good idea to use that. And I would guarantee that even for this elusive, like these people are not wearing top hats. They're not, you know, like
monocles.
They're all, you know, like I'm sure that would work just as well. Yeah.
Video is great. Okay. So let's talk now about calls to action. So are there any extra steps involved when you're talking about a higher price point or a luxury item or service? And let me explain what I mean. So I've had several clients like where we just do their website audits and it's kind of a higher ticket item and they've got a call to action on their site that says book now. I'm like, and I ask them, does anyone actually do that without talking to you first? And they're like, no. Like, okay, well then you need to change your call to action to let's have a conversation or a consultation, you know? What are your thoughts on that?
That's been our experience as well, that like it doesn't, and I've had the same conversation with clients, like, so does anyone actually book the consultation, even the consultation? So it's not like a super high ticket item. Yeah. That's, you know, $350 or whatever for like a paid consultation. And even that, people want to talk to someone first, you know, this is going to be like it's a pretty intimate service really in the end. Mm-hmm. So they want to talk to a human being. Yes, we acknowledge that. And we don't, what we tend to do is, you know, the biggest mistake I see with that on websites that I audit would be like putting up a default contact form. That's like, I'm sure you've seen this too, Wes, like message and subject and message. So like, it's like the default contact. Yeah. And that's not good because you're asking people to come up with weird, like, what is my subject? We always say like, you know, ask easy questions, but useful questions. So, you know, project location. And the reason I like project location is because for a lot of clients, it's our potential clients, if you ask for an address, they might not be ready for that for security reasons or because of like, they're just not ready. They haven't actually spoken with you yet. So project location, they can be free about it. Like they can just put a town or even a county or whatever, they can answer it any way that, or they, maybe they do put an address and you can go spy on them and see like if they're like a good potential client. And then if you are going to, so it is like kind of common for interior design firms to ask for a project budget. And I am sort of anti that because a lot of clients are looking, it depends if they've hired designers a million times before, they'll have a good sense of it. But if they haven't, then that is a hard question. And that is going to lower your conversion rate and make them nervous. And they're going to be like, I'll come back later. And then they never come back. So if you are going to do that, definitely put a drop down with ranges, which is useful because you're already, the implication is the bottom range is the bottom range, you know, like that's actually great for like getting, you know, for helping to clear out people who are not a good fit. But I would say like my experience is that for the designers who have who are well known and have a lot of traffic to their website, you can start adding those sort of like qualifying questions to your contact form. But when you're building your business, you want to make it super easy for people to get through and then just qualify them on that first call. And yes, everybody does a qualifying call that we work with. Everybody talks to the person and then you go from there, you know, are we going to do, it could be a free consultation on site, or in this case, nowadays, Zoom, or it could be paid. There's a whole debate over that, which is not relevant to our talk here. But you're always going to talk to the people first.
Okay, cool. So this was not on my list of questions here, but we kind of touched on it. So it made me think about it. Pricing, putting pricing on your website. I always recommend that. And I think even in the higher end market, I think it's smart to do that. What do you think? And I'm not talking about price lists. I'm just talking about addressing price in a kind of general way. What are your thoughts on that within the luxury market?
That's the eternal question, Wes. Yeah. Like,
no easy answers.
That's the answer. Yeah, 42. But what is the question? I would like we've had clients take different approaches to this. Now, there is a trend going on right now in the design industry to be more package based. It really depends kind of where you land on that strata of like, you know, which type of client you're serving, like what level of client you're serving, and the scope of the projects. Actually, it's really more about the scope of the projects. So if you're offering defined packages, by all means, put pricing on your site, you know. If you are more of a full service designer, which I would say most of our clients tend to fall into that category, all you can do is, you know, a typical project starts at, you know, typical, like that kind of thing, like giving them a clue. We have one designer who we launched recently where we did a rate sheet as the lead magnet. So like that's her lead magnet that, you know, like it's obviously this is very bottom of the funnel and she's not going to get like a big volume of people, but anyone who signs up for that is a very serious prospect, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
By the way, that's something I usually would tell people, like shy people away from doing.
Interesting. Why?
Only because, and I'm not saying it doesn't work for that particular client. It might work very well, but I find it to be kind of, when I talk to older business owners, that was like how they would do business, like inquire for pricing. And I'm like, no one's ready to do that yet.
Yeah.
But I guess in certain circumstances when you're basically looking for people to raise their hand saying, I'm ready to get that now. That's fine. But I generally like something else for a lead magnet that's a lot less invasive, like that's more top of the funnel than that.
More top of the funnel. Yeah. We tend to go more top of the funnel, like quiz style quizzes and that sort of thing. Definitely more top of the funnel. But I think the reason why it can work in this case is because it is the norm to not put pricing on an interior design website. Like that is definitely mostly what you see. Like people are not expecting it. So, and it's instant gratification. It's not inquire for pricing. It's not let us give you a quote and you have to wait God knows how long. It's you're going to get that rate sheet as soon as you enter in your email. So it's a little different than inquire for pricing in that way. But
I could see it working.
It's all an experiment.
Yeah, exactly. But I like what you're saying though about just having those kind of starting at prices. Because whenever I talk about putting pricing on a website, everyone's first reaction is, but it's bid based. I can't do that. Like, well, you can say where you start and you can kind of say like, you can throw out a few scenarios of like in a good, better, best model. Even if you don't have those three packages, you can say this type of job usually starts here. This type of job starts here, right?
It's hard. It's tricky. I mean, like we very often will put, or not very often, sometimes we will put the consultation price. Like that's not a big deal. It's a flat fee. It's like, this is what you get for this much money. Like you can put the scope right there. But for interior design, it tends to be like, you know, there's two schools of thought. There's flat fee pricing and there's hourly, and you can give someone your hourly rate. You can put the hourly rate on the website, but it's like, it's meaningless, right? Like how many, you know, you have no idea. And the scope can vary so much that it's tricky, you know?
Yeah. It's just nice to be able to have people self-select.
Yes. No,
it's like,
so true.
Can I afford this? Can I not afford this?
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, for that reason alone, I like at least trying to address it in some way. All right, cool. So let's talk about marketing now for a little bit, getting traffic to that website. So do you have any tips or methods that you find work especially well for a higher end market?
We tend to, our clients tend to focus on, we try and optimize the site as well as possible for local search. You know, that's usually like an area where they need some help. Some of those sort of like low hanging fruit items, like let's get your Google business page in order and like optimize it and blah, blah, blah. And like, let's actually optimize for a location on your homepage and et cetera, et cetera. And then we are very into either creating blog content for them monthly or recommending specific, like during that first consultation phase, I will give them a list of blog post ideas that are mostly based on search engine optimization strategy, a little bit on their messaging as well. So we're, the SEO thing is, you know, I always like try and set expectations that are realistic about how long it takes. Like you and I both know, it's not like flip a switch, but
right.
Worth it. And then designers tend to drive traffic to their website using things like Instagram, because it's such a visual medium. Like Instagram, you can build a whole business on Instagram. It's just going to be like so much work, you know, like but like it, that really is a way that designers tend to build an audience and drive traffic to their website.
Okay. Well, and by the way, while we're on Instagram, you're one of my favorite accounts to follow.
What?
I like all your posts because I actually like them. Like you, I'm kind of I love interior design, you know, and you have a great eye for it, and you always post things that I actually really enjoy. So,
thank you.
What's your Instagram handle again? Throw it out there.
It's at curioelectro.com, CURIOELECTRO.com, curioelectro.com.
Not.com.
That's the website.
Just on Instagram.
At Curioelectro, yeah.
Nice. So Instagram works well for designers. What about just in general when you're talking about people where it's kind of like a luxury service where it's not a need, it's a want? Do you find that paid advertising, like, you know, display style works better than search, or do you think search works better? Are people, I guess it depends on the niche, right?
But the nice thing about, as you know, the nice thing about search is that you've got the intent behind it, depending on what the search term is, right? So like if someone's searching for interior designer town, right, then like they are legitimately looking to hire someone. This is why we guide people in what they're optimizing for, or even the content that they're creating. We do a lot of like create a post about that project and optimize for that town and the word interior designer, because the mistake that can happen is designers can tend to, and this I'm sure can happen in any industry, like you don't want to accidentally start creating content for DIYers if you have a service-based business.
So important, yeah.
Right? You know, like you don't want to be creating a blog post about how to like reupholster your dining room furniture, which I've literally seen that, you know, because they're being helpful and they're demonstrating their expertise and those things are good, but we have to think about who the target client is. So for that reason, search is awesome. That being said, we don't do paid traffic. Like we don't have that service as part of our scope that we provide, but I certainly have worked with other agencies like in tandem to optimize, like create landing pages and optimize and all that kind of stuff. And we've seen it work really nicely. Again, like targeting those, like for Google ads, for example, like those like intent-based search terms. And then I've definitely seen designers do well just simply, and I know this is like in paid traffic, like a bit of a like no, but like just boosting posts, you know,
okay.
Like, I know it's like, I know you're like disgusted, but I say that because, you know, like, it's always like the advice is like, don't do that, 'cause you don't have enough control over like what's happening.
Yeah. It's just, you can't target it very well. It's kind of my big problem with it.
But, yeah. It's just kind of like, make this more, but I have absolutely seen clients who've like, you know, gotten some nice ROI, even just from that, just getting it in front of people more, you know, than the organic. So.
Okay, cool. So, and again, back to pricing, I got to ask this because this is something I always recommend. When we talk about SEO, what I think goes hand in hand with that is Google Ads, because that you can turn on and off like a switch.
Right.
But one thing I always tell people, and I think this is especially significant when you have a higher priced service, I like to tell people to put at least a starting ad price in the ad copy itself to discourage the wrong clicks. Because I guarantee you there are people looking for designers who think they cost $500. You know what I mean?
100%.
And you don't want to pay for those people to click through. And if you have a high dollar amount there somewhere, like starting at this, for the people with the budgets, they're going to think, oh, they're a little more high end. They're a little more on my, what I was expecting to pay. What do you think?
No, it feels a little like, so it depends.
Well,
right?
I'm not saying do it like there's a way where it looks cheesy. There's a way where it looks cheesy.
Yeah. So I think we can get a little bit more granular there. And like, there are two categories of even like people with the budget that you need. There's the person who has hired a designer before and the person who has not. And the person who has hired a designer before doesn't need the same level of education around process, around pricing, or any of that stuff. So it depends. And designers do have a target client that tends to fall one way or the other within that, or at least an ideal client, you know? Like,
sure.
Spoiler alert, it's usually people who've worked with designers before. Because, who wants to educate, you know? Like, I mean, there are definitely exceptions to that, for sure. But I think that would be a question you'd have to ask when you're answering that, you know, when you're thinking about that, because if you're targeting people who have hired designers before, then I don't know, it just feels a little bit like saying the word luxury to someone who is used to luxury items and thinks of them as just regular, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I mean, then you just have to kind of reconcile with yourself. Like, I'm willing to pay for these clicks that aren't going to go in. There's got to be a way to do that smartly. And I can't think of it right now.
I know. I feel like I'm giving an answer that's kind of like, sorry, you're just gonna have to deal with it. But like, I mean, I have a custom home builder who he had not really any organic traffic to speak of before we started working together a few years ago. And you know, now he does, but one of the things he has to deal with is that now that all of his traffic is, you know, not referrals, like they're not pre-qualified in that same way. And he's just like, you have to have a better qualification process in place when you stop getting all of your clients through referrals. Like, you got to take the good with the bad on that, because that's just how it is, you know?
Absolutely. So, well, this has been great, Nicole. I always love talking to you, and I'm glad we could do it in an official capacity and let the others in on the good stuff too. So, where can people find you online if they want to know more about your services?
They can go to curioelectro.com, CurioElectro.com.
All right. Sounds good, Nicole. It's been a pleasure, and I can't wait for our next little check-in.
Totally. Have a good day.
All right. You too. All right, so hopefully if you do work with higher-end clients, you got a lot out of that. And hopefully if you don't work with higher-end clients, you still got something out of it, because that was just a great discussion to be a part of. So anyway, before we wrap things up, I do want to do a quick listener spotlight. Now, this is a 5-star review that I got on Apple Podcasts from the screen name 2Animated, with a 2 and an 8 in there. And he says, awesome resource. And then the text says, I launched my company, Skinny Pete's Gourmet Catnip, I'm interested in that already, about 3 years ago. I've learned more actionable tips from Wes in the last month than I did up until then. Thanks, Wes. Please keep it coming. Absolutely, and I definitely plan to. We're just getting started here. So if you want a listener spotlight like this on me reading your review on a future episode, all you got to do is leave one. So just go on Apple Podcasts, leave an honest review, and I will very likely get to it in an upcoming episode. So anyway, guys, that's going to do it this week, but I hope that you got as much out of it as I did. Until next time, I want you to remember to make it real and keep it real. Bye for now.